Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
sleeper. Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
This from Ted to open up the show, Denton. Ted writes, "Delusional Kevin is back after 10 years. I'll give you credit for your preseason call on the team's record, but we're not a good team. We have a great player. Tampa is much better, and the season ends Sunday night in a blowout loss." Thank you, Ted. Appreciate that. Appreciate the compliment on getting... I actually was off on the season prediction by 2 games. I had them at 10-7 and in a wild card playoff game. They won 12. And let's be fair here. Nobody has blown them out, okay? They since the opener. And I know it was against Tampa. But their losses were all winnable games. Every single one of them, including the Philadelphia game on Thursday night, which was their biggest loss other than the opener. They lost to Dallas by 8, but you know there was the return at the end on the onside kick for the second kickoff return for a touchdown. No. They're not going to get blown out. It can happen. It's the NFL. But this team has not been blown out since the opener, and the opener doesn't really matter. The opener is a completely different situation. It is always in the NFL a major head fake week one, if not the first 2 or 3 weeks of the season. And Washington's a completely different team. Tampa Bay is a completely different team. Tampa is better on offense and they're worse on defense. Washington's much better on offense and probably the same on defense, actually. But delusional Kevin, there was a time, and it wasn't delusional, it was based on what they were, you know, in 2015, 2016. I'm assuming that that's what you're referring to. I was more optimistic than pessimistic, and then for about 8 years, I was pretty much pessimistic. But it's based on what we're observing in the moment, right? I mean, I'm observing a team that isn't just one player. You're right. It's not a great roster around a great player. Not yet, anyway. And we will have time to fix that. They'll have time to fix that in the coming off seasons ahead. But you can't win 12 games in the NFL if you're not a good team. I think 10, 9, you know, wins... You can be a team that isn't good and somehow schedule your way, or when I say schedule, you get the luck of the schedule, get the luck of the bounce, you know, into a 9-win season or a 10-win season. 12 wins is pretty difficult if you're not a good team. I would agree that the roster is not a great roster. It might not even be a good roster overall, but they do have, for the first time in a long time, a really good player at the most important position on the field, and that masks a lot of other things and can make you and can be a contributor to you being a good team, by the way, as can your head coach and the staff, because that's part of the team. I have a hard time saying anything other than it's not a great roster. I think it's really hard to call a 12-win team not a good team, just a great player. And it's, in terms of Tampa being much better in the season ending Sunday night in a blowout, again, they haven't been blown out since the opener. Every game has been winnable for them. Tampa has a better roster. Tampa has, in aggregate, better players in terms of the number of good players. But they are banged up on defense, especially on the back end. They have not been very good defensively against teams that can throw the football and good offensive teams. But they are good offensively. There's no doubt about that. But they aren't much better. And the odds makers have told you that they're not much better. They're a 3-point favorite. And you get 3 for being the home team. So on a neutral field, the odds makers see this as a dead even matchup. I do believe that they have a chance to win the game. For those of you who agree with me that the game Sunday night is more than winnable, I mean, how confident are you? I'm not like, I'm not to the point where I'm like predicting a win, like an easy win, but I am absolutely not going to be surprised at all if they win the game Sunday night. Of course it's a winnable game. Thank you, Ted, for that optimism to start the show. I don't mind pessimism. I don't mind constructive, you know, pessimism. But you're just a little bit hyperbolic. I wasn't delusional with 2015 and 2016. I said the entire time, they're really good on offense. They suck on defense. That was 2015 and 2016. By the way, they were even worse on defense in 2015 and 2016 than they've been this year. But they weren't as dynamic on offense. I mean, they had better players on offense overall. I mean, DeSean Jackson, Pierre Garçon, Jordan Reed, Chris Thompson, Kirk Cousins, Trent Williams, they had a squad on offense. But I'd take this quarterback situation, of course, 10 times out of 10 over the one we had in 2015-2016, even though the one we had in 2015-2016 was a more than capable quarterback situation that they should have stuck with, but they were too stupid to do it and do it early. But I don't think I was delusional back then, Ted. I think I was just optimistic that they could, you know, compete offensively, which is what they did. Look, the playoff game against Green Bay after the 2015 season, if DeSean Jackson doesn't inexplicably go out of bounds at the half-yard line instead of, you know, pushing the ball forward and breaking the plane, they would have been up 12-0. In that game, they were up 5-0. They ended up kicking the field goal to go up 8-0 after they didn't get it in with a penalty, I think. DeSean, if he had just put the ball over the plane, they would have been up 12-0 against that Packer team. I'm not saying that they would have won the game, but they were more than competitive offensively in that game. They just couldn't get off the field against the Packers eventually as that game went on. I sometimes forget that there was a playoff game in between that one and the one they'll play Sunday night, Denton. The 2020 game against Tampa Bay as a 7-9 division winner, it is the last time this franchise was in the playoffs. And it was a playoff game. And by the way, it was a competitive playoff game. Not as competitive as some of you wanted to make it out to be. We've gone through that before. Some of you got a little bit carried away with the Taylor Heinicke thing. And, oh my God, Taylor Heinicke is the only guy that really had a shot, you know, to beat Tom Brady. No, actually, they should have or could have lost to Green Bay, New Orleans after. It was New Orleans first, right? It was New Orleans first, then Green Bay? No, Tampa beat New Orleans and then Green Bay, right? On the road?
Yeah.
Yeah. And those games actually were closer than the game against Tampa Bay here at FedEx that night. Look, what was true about that night is that offensively, Taylor Heinicke and company, Terry McLaurin, they kept Washington in a game in which they could not stop Tampa Bay. Defensively. In fact, there were 5 dropped passes passes in that game. Chris Godwin had 4 dropped passes in that playoff game. Tampa still scored 31 points, rolled up over 500 yards of offense, and it may have been close to 600 yards without the drops. That was the problem. It wasn't Taylor. Taylor gave him a chance, no doubt. You know, he gave them a chance. Terry gave him a chance. I forget who else played really well that night. Was McKissick a big part of that game? I'm trying to remember. I could pull up the box score.
Heinicke was the team's leading passer and rusher. Cam Sims, 7 catches, 104 yards.
Cam Sims, 7 catches, 104 yards. Yeah. Well, what did Terry have that night?
Hold on, I got it now. 6 for 75.
There it is, 6 for 75. Logan Thomas, 5 catches, 74 yards. Steven Sims, 3 for 33. J.D. McKissick, 2 catches, 8 yards. 2 carries, 5 yards. I liked McKissick, man. McKissick actually reminds me, I mean, he's like a poor man's Austin Ekeler, but he had the serious injury too that basically ended his career. But look at Tampa Bay in that box score, Denton. First of all, 507 yards of offense. I knew it was more than 500. Brady was 22 of 40 for 381, 2 touchdowns, no picks. Godwin, I remember, had 4 drops in that game. And if you look at his numbers, it was 5 of 79. He was targeted 12 times. 4 of the 12 targets were drops for big yardage plays, chunk yardage plays.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Evans, 6 for 119 in that game. I guess the point being, of course I remember that. It was during COVID. It was weird the entire season, including, you know, the no fans and the whole thing. And I didn't think that they had a chance to win that game. What were they? What was the point spread in that game? What, didn't it go off at double digits or not? Was Tampa a double-digit favorite on the road?
Tampa was a, it doesn't say on here. I think it was
Pro
large.
Football Reference has it. Pro Football Reference will always have the point spread. I think it may have been like double digits and may have come down. Hold on. Yeah. I'll find it here in a moment. We were the Washington football team that year. That's for sure.
It looks like it wasn't double digits. It was 8.5.
Yeah. No, I see 10. On Pro Football Reference, I see Tampa Bay went off as a 10-point favorite.
I'll trust them over the other site then.
Yeah, Pro Football Reference always includes, you know, weather conditions at kickoff, the length of the game, and the Vegas point spread along with the over-under. Tampa Bay was minus 10, and the total was 45 in that game. So there you go. Yeah, I guess the last time I feel like they played in a real playoff game was that game against Green Bay. And the last time I actually thought they had a legitimate chance to make a run was 2012. And we know how that ended. Ugh, that didn't end well at all. I can't wait for Sunday night. I think they got a legit shot to win the game. We've talked about it. We'll talk about it more today, tomorrow, and Friday. Yeah, I mean, to Ted's point, they have a great player at the most important position on the field, and that often is the difference in these big one-and-done games. So his first chance, you know, in a one-and-done, you know, in a win-or-go-home game, this will be our first chance to see him, first chance to see this, you know, coaching staff together, how they handle it, first chance to see how some of the others, Terry played in a playoff game in 2020, so he's got some experience with it. And there are certainly players on the team that have had experience in playoff games, all the Dallas guys, you know, Austin Ekeler, clearly. So we'll see what happens. But I give them a legitimate shot to win the game Sunday night. We will save our predictions for Friday's show. But don't be surprised if I predict a narrow victory. And on to Detroit we go. By the way, it could be on to either L.A. or Minnesota we go, depending on the result of the Green Bay-Philadelphia game. Today's a big day because teams will, you know, put out their first injury report. We're going to find out in Philadelphia what the status of Jalen Hurts is, for sure. That's an intriguing story. And for our game, obviously, we're going to find out what Dan Quinn said on Monday is true, and that is he actually is upbeat about the health of the team going into the playoff game. We will certainly get those. By the way, important to see what Tampa's got coming back. I think there is a possibility Antoine Winfield Jr. is back, right, Denton? Is that that's a possibility?
It is a possibility. I had read something earlier this week that there is worry that that will not be the case, though. So it feels
Jordan
like
Whitehead's 50-50. Done, right?
I believe so.
They missed him for some games. I mean, their secondary has been a mess. There's going to be an opportunity to, you know, watch our guy go to work. A lot of quick stuff, a lot of hitches, a lot of get it out quickly, and then they inch up a little bit and we take some deep shots. Big holes on, you know, in zone coverage. Bowles plays a lot of both. Plays a lot of man, plays a lot of zone, depending on the opponent. Todd Bowles is a total whatever it takes in that particular game based on the opponent they're facing. He is a true defensive mastermind and has been for a long time. You can say whatever you want about Todd Bowles as a head coach. Todd Bowles has been one of the most respected defensive coordinators, defensive minds, defensive play callers, defensive game planners in the game going back years now. So they will have a plan. But do they have the players on the back end to match? You know, will we get more zone coverage against Jaden Daniels? They've given up a lot of scrambling yards, and they haven't played a true dual-threat quarterback since they faced Lamar Jackson in that Monday night game way back in October. You know, they played Mahomes. You know, they remember they lost that overtime game, had a chance to go for two, didn't do it. They played Mahomes in that game. But other than that, you go through the quarterbacks they have faced. You know, Bryce Young can move around. Did Daniel Jones play in the game that they played them in, or was that Daniel Jones' first game out? Yeah, it was his first game out. They started Tommy DeVito in the game in which they beat the Giants. But Bryce Young had some success against them. I mean, Kirk Cousins had incredible success against Tampa twice. I mean, basically threw for 800 yards in two games against Tampa. But you got a shot to move. You can't play too much man coverage against Jaden. And Jaden's been very good against zone coverage. So we'll see what happens. They do stop the run, though. There is no doubt that Tampa can stop the run. So I don't know if you bang your head trying to run Brian Robinson Jr. or even Austin Eckler until you've loosened them up through the air. All right, let's get to a what do you got or two.